All right, Psalm chapter 1. Let's stand together, if you would, please. I'll read these verses here, and then we'll get right into this. Blessed is the man, not every man. Not every man, but the man that, and then here we see, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
amen,
nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yep. And in his law, the Lord's law, doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. God's got a season for everybody. And yours may not be mine, and mine may not be yours, but God has a season in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a great promise right there.
Amen.
However, verse 4, the ungodly are not so. I want you to notice, there's the blessed man in verse 1, and then there's the ungodly.
Right.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand. They can't stand.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
They don't stand for anything.
Yeah.
They're ungodly. They go with the wind. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I like the congregation of the righteous, don't you? I like to be amidst God's people. That's the best place in the world. I'm talking about just being an old-fashioned church. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Boy, oh boy. Let's pray. Father, I need your help tonight. I want to be an encouragement. Lord, I'm not going to say anything new, and I know that, Lord, but I pray you would take what I do say and make it fresh in the hearts and minds of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Probably one of the most power-packed chapters in all of the Bible here, Psalm chapter 1. There's so much to say, so much to look at. It's very relevant in our generation today. By the way, the Bible never gets outdated. Amen. It never gets outdated. Blessed is the man. The word, of course, means happy. I think I may have mentioned that this morning. And the theme is blessings this morning and the blessings tonight. But God wants to bless his people. God wants to make his people happy. God wants to make his people content. God wants to make his people satisfied. God wants to bless us. The first way to blessings, however, the first way to see and understand the blessings of God, if I'm going to have a blessed life, notice verse 1 is filled with a whole bunch of negatives. Negatives. There's not walking in the council, not standing, not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Brother Terry Angel's a pastor up in Illinois. He has a message that he's preached. I've heard him preach one time on how happiness is all tied up in knots. It's a play on words. But if you're going to have a happy life, a blessed life that God can bless, it's going to start with the things that you stop doing.
Yep.
Amen. Okay, when God saves us, he intends for us to change direction. I know I mentioned that, but he intends for us to stop things that we used to do.
Yeah, right.
Not because he is trying to hurt us, but again, he's trying to bless us. Look in Acts chapter 3 real quick over there. We'll be back. Acts chapter 3 verse 26. Acts 3, verse 26. Of course, Peter preaching here to the Jews, the ones who rejected Jesus. Verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to what? Bless you. In doing what? Turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Folks, you can go back to Psalm 1. Blessings start with turning away from the things that you used to do. The things that you used to, the things that used to define your life should no longer define your life now that you're a child of God. It starts with negatives. And people always say, well, your church is so negative and you're preaching so negative. I'm not God's negativity is only the beginning. Do you remember mathematics? I'm not talking about multiplying and dividing, but just addition. Simple addition. If you have a negative and you're adding it to a positive, okay? The negative and the positive, the answer is going to be negative or positive based on which one is larger.
Right.
You understand that? If I got a negative 3 and a positive 5, my answer is going to be positive or negative?
Positive.
Positive, because my positive is bigger. If I have a negative 5 and a positive 3, my answer is going to be positive or negative?
Negative.
Why? Because the negative is greater. God wants us to end up with a positive life, okay?
Yeah,
but there's going to be some negatives involved in that, but His positives are greater.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
The result will always be positive, but you're going to have to understand that a battery requires a negative and a positive in order to put out power.
Yeah, amen.
In order to produce power. God wants to bless us. I'm telling you, excuse me, you can't jump over the negatives and jump to the good, the positive. You can't do it.
Yep.
That's where the world is failing miserably. They're jumping over the negatives and trying to get to the positive, trying to get to the blessings without going through the subtractions, if you will, in our verse here. The Proverbs 16:20, don't turn there, but it says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good."
Yeah.
Amen.
"And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he."
Amen.
"Happy, like a river glorious, stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed."
Amen.
The Bible says, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee." That's in Isaiah chapter 26. God says, I want to bless you. I want you to understand, though, but there's a right way and there's a wrong way, and God's way is always right, but it includes some negatives. And I'm going to focus on verse 1, but I want you to understand that these are all to bring us to the blessings. But we can't skip verse 1. Number 1, quickly, it says, "He blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That is the advice. The advice of the world.
Amen.
Counsel is just another word for advice.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to look at the advice of the world. It's negative. It's bad. You can't walk in their advice. Number 2, God says we cannot stand in the way of sinners. That's the actions of the world.
Right.
Okay? The way, the things that they do, their actions. And nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That's the attitude.
Yep. Amen.
You got the advice, the actions, and the attitude, and they all have to be shunned. They all have to be rejected, or you will never be this blessed man, this blessed Christian. And by the way, I want you to understand something. These things are in perfect order. God is a God of order. And when you understand that, you read your King James Bible, it's orderly for a reason, and the first thing is the advice. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly." Now, dearly beloved, let me say something to you here real quick. I'm trying to stick to my notes. I don't want to be too long, but I also want to be led of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some Christians, let me back up, some believers, saved people, can still be ungodly.
Yep. Right. Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
Saved believers in church can still be ungodly and still have ungodly counsel.
Yep.
Still give you wrong advice.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
How am I going to know the difference, preacher? They go to church. They're saved. Well, dearly, listen to me. I don't know what else to tell you. There's really no other way to know the difference other than to gauge and measure their life with the Word of God.
Amen.
Is their life godly? Right.
Yep. Yep.
And if their life is not godly, then do not follow their advice.
Right.
Do not follow what they think. Do not follow what they counsel you or advise you to do. The world, even saved people that are living in the world, that are living like the world, they give you advice. But I want you to notice something tonight as I go into this. You're not normally going to sit down on some psychiatrist's couch and get counsel from them. Here's normally the way the world counsels Christians is just through what you see.
Yep.
I'm not going to re-preach the message from Sunday morning, but I want you to see something here. I've got a little illustration here. Does that look... I know you can't see it very well. But does that look like a godly advertisement to you? Look at it.
Is it buzz?
Don't worry about what it says. Just look at the meter. Does that look like a godly advertisement to you? You see that? Here's Mr. Rapper DJ so-and-so and Mr. Long-haired hippie, spiked-haired, collar-flipped-up rebel. This is an advertisement for biblical teaching, evangelistic messages, dynamic worship, comedy, illusions, and the best in Christian music. The best. All combined. All fused together to impact students wherever they may be on their journey of faith. Inside the cover is the background is a rock concert. Now, does that look like a godly advertisement?
No.
Here we got. Now look. Here's what I want you to see. Here's of the artists. Here's Mr. Cool J with his earrings in. Here's what I'm talking about. Here, down here is Mr. Long-haired hippies and all these Mr. Tough guys with their rebellious spirit. All you have to do is look at the picture. This is the music for the show. Now, what are you saying, Rich? What I'm saying is, this is ungodly counsel. Without saying a word.
Yep.
This sent around to churches. This is attention student ministry of the Amazing Grace Baptist. This came in the mail at church. And I get these all the time. This is ungodly counsel. This is advising you. This is counseling you that this is the way you should do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
This is counsel here that this is the way everybody else is doing it.
Yep.
This is the way that's working. This is the way that you need to do it. This is counsel of the ungodly. And this is just one example. Now, I looked at that and I knew that was some kind of... Because I get it all the time. And I thought, are you kidding me? No, they're not kidding.
Yeah, right.
There's nowhere in here that says, just kidding. No, it's serious. They are really pushing this.
Yeah.
And what I want you to understand is, folks, that's just one small example. But advice on how you should talk comes from the ungodly people that you hang out with.
Sure.
Advice on how you should what you should wear comes from the people that you are around all the time. Advice on what you should listen to comes from what everybody else is listening to. They don't come up to you and say, hey, listen, you ought to hear this. You ought to see this. You ought to say this. No, what they do is they just do it, and that gives you the idea. Hey, this is good.
Right.
Yeah, boom. Great.
This is good. It's what everybody else is doing. It's what everybody else is wearing. It's what everybody else is saying. I mean, everybody else is going to those churches.
Yeah, great. Right.
Everybody else is going to this new music.
Oh.
I mean, it's dynamic. Ooh, it's dynamic. It's the best in Christian music. That's counsel without saying a word.
Yep, that's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you cannot walk in that counsel.
Yep.
You can, by the way, I control where I walk.
That's right.
Amen.
I control where I walk.
Amen.
Don't tell me that it's too much and I can't. No, you control where you walk. When God says not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, it means that I don't stay where all of that is going to be bombarding me. I stay away from it.
Right.
See, the advice is given, that's subconscious right there.
Right.
You know what that means? They're not literally saying anything. They're just promoting something through pictures and promotions and marketing for you to participate in what you see. The world's ways are being promoted. The world's ways are being propagated. Listen now, don't miss this, because the majority of people are doing it.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Do you understand what I just said? If everybody else is doing it, then it must be right. And that's the counsel that you're getting every single day of your life in this world.
Great. Yep.
And what it does is it persuades other people to follow.
Sure.
Because they don't have any biblical understanding.
Yeah.
They don't have any biblical wisdom. They don't have any biblical knowledge. They're not grounded. They're not rooted. They don't have any, can I say it kindly, they don't have a clue. Because the counsel of the ungodly, nobody's telling me what I should do. No, but how does a clothing trend get started?
Yeah, great.
How does a fashion trend get started? How did these boys, because they're not men, how did they start walking around with their underwear hanging out of the place?
Yeah,
how did that start?
Oh.
That started with somebody doing it.
Right.
And then somebody else said, well, that looks pretty cool. Let's take my pants down and let everybody see my underwear.
Yeah.
And I can't even walk because I got to hold them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Oh.
Now everybody, you're looking. Right. Well, how did that get started? Right. Somebody did it, and they looked at it, and they said, well, that's not a bad idea. And now everybody's doing it. How does stuff like that get started? Nobody said, well, you know what? You ought to. No salesman knocked on their door. Hey, guess what? I'm selling something today. I'm selling you these pants that show your underwear to everybody. It wasn't a sales call. Hello, my name is so-and-so from so-and-so industries. And I'm promoting and marketing and trying to sell pants that show your underwear to everybody. Didn't happen that way. You know what happened?
Right.
Somebody just started doing this.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And somebody saw it. And somebody else did it. And so now, God forbid, any of you do it, but there's people doing it everywhere.
Right.
Yep.
How did that start? It started with somebody. Somebody did it, and that was counsel. That was advice to somebody else to follow trend. How does a word in the English language change from meaning one thing to meaning another?
Sure.
For example, gay. It used to be happy.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So now it means homosexual, and you can't say that somebody's gay anymore. The Bible has words in it that are pure and holy words straight from God, but the world is taking these words and now they're cuss words.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I'm saying nobody comes to your door. Nobody says, listen, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. The simple using of it, the simple wearing of it, the simply listening to it, it promotes it to other people.
That's right.
And you cannot walk in that council. You dare not be a part of that council. You dare not be. Listen, because when you start imitating the fashions and the fads and the mind and the manners of the world, you're promoting it to somebody else.
Right.
Yep. Amen.
Right. You cannot walk in that council.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Ask yourself this: why do you do what you do?
Yeah. Amen.
Why do you dress the way you dress? Why do you say what you say? Why do you not say what you don't say? Why do you listen to that music? Why do you not listen to that music? Why? Because behind everything that we do or don't do, there's counsel somewhere that has led us to either do it or stop doing it.
Yep, right. Yep.
Are you listening to me tonight?
Right.
Hey.
Why do I wear that? Why do I say that? Why do I listen to that? Why do I watch that? Somewhere it became somebody else. You saw them do it, or you heard them say it, or you watched. I mean, how do kids learn this profanity? They hear it at school.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Yep.
And then they start walking in it.
Yep, that's right.
And it's advice. It's just advice because of sheer participation. They're doing it. So in kids especially, they're so innocent and so, well, not anymore, but they're young anyway. And they're easily moldable.
Sure.
And Satan knows that.
Yep, that's right. Amen. Preach.
And the majority of parents aren't teaching them anything at home.
Yeah.
They won't make them even go to Sunday school.
Oh.
It's here. It's going to stay. But you and I, we have to understand that if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to have the life that we think we want to have, that God wants us to have,
yeah,
it starts with, I can't walk in their advice. I can't listen to what they're saying. I can't continue their advice, because listen, with advice, when I do that, when I walk in their advice, I'm going to begin to participate in their actions.
Yep.
Well, since everyone else is promoting it, I'm going to do it. It just seems like, well, I'm not to walk in their counsel, because if I do, I'm going to end up standing in their way, in their behavior, in their actions. Somewhere along the way, you heard somebody say something, do something. You saw somebody wearing something. Like I said, here's Mr. Cool J wearing his earrings, and he's singing about Jesus, wearing his gold chain down here. Like he's tough guy, you know. And kids are looking at that saying, how can you be cool and still love Jesus?
Yeah, come on.
Now, where did he get that?
Yeah, he may have heard it.
Where did he get that?
Right, yep.
From something he saw when he was young.
Yep.
Right.
Where does it come from? You are following this. Mark that. You're following somebody.
Yep. Right.
You're following somebody. You are doing what somebody else has advised you to do, whether they said it or whether they just lived it in front of you. You're following somebody. I don't know how many times I've seen young men, and I'm not picking on anybody here, but there was a man in a church up in Sanger where we were at before, and he got saved. Boy, he had hair down to his waist, and he wore it in a little ponytail. And he wasn't necessarily effeminate in his mannerisms, but, you know, long hair. The Bible teaches us that, even nature teaches us, that it's not natural for a man to have long hair, which, by the way, this guy has it all the way down to his waist. Well, he got saved, and he started coming to church, and I wanted to say, brother, you get a hold of that ponytail.
Amen.
Turn around, man. Here, take it home and hang it on your wall or something. But stop burning. You're safe now.
Amen, brother.
Well, anyway, and I didn't do it. I didn't say anything. And one day, lo and behold, he just walked into church, and he looked like a man.
Amen.
What happened there? Well, he stopped taking the counsel of the ungodly,
yep,
and he started following his pastor's example.
Amen.
I mean, that's how it works, church. That's how it works. You begin to see, hey, I'm not going to follow this.
Yeah,
I'm going to follow this.
Amen.
This is the counsel of the godly. This is not the counsel of the ungodly. These people call themselves Christians. And maybe, you know, I hope they are saved.
Yeah. Amen.
But I'll tell you one thing, they're not going to look like that in heaven.
That's right, brother.
They're not going to be singing their rapping for Jesus in heaven.
Yeah, Paul, great.
But see, they got it from somebody.
Right.
And now they're pushing it to other people. And that's how it works. We cannot walk in that advice, because we will begin to do the things that our actions will follow. If your actions are ungodly tonight, it's because you're following ungodly counsel.
That's right.
Yep, amen.
Because ungodly counsel always leads. I promise you, listen.
Do you think these guys have any problem with a little social drink here and there? I can't say for sure, but I promise you, they're not living a separated life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not concerned in looking different from the world. They look exactly like anybody else that could be in any rock concert and anywhere in the world.
Yep. That's right.
So their actions are going to follow. Now they're promoting it to children, our next generation.
Oh, great.
And so we have so much ungodliness. Their ungodly counsel is leading to ungodly actions. They're not godly people just because they use the name of Jesus. Can I say that to you? That doesn't mean that they're godly just because they say the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, "Let him that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity." If I'm even going to name the name of Christ,
yeah, that's right. Yep.
But I want blessings, remember? Blessings start with eliminating things, and it starts with getting rid of the advice.
Yeah.
Understanding that the ungodly counsel, I cannot continue to look at it, listen to it, hear it, because I will follow it.
Yep. Amen.
And then I want you to understand the actions will follow, but here's where it really ends up. The attitude. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the advice of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way, the actions of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorn. A scornful person is a person with a very bad attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, they just have a rotten, foul attitude. A scornful attitude is disrespectful, hateful, and blasphemous.
Right.
I said, "Preacher, I would never get... I promise you, these kind of people would not sit in a service like this for 10 minutes.
Yep.
Right.
They would scoff, they would scorn, they would laugh, they would mock, they would ridicule.
Yep, right.
Everything that God says.
Right.
Blessed are the pure in heart. That's what God says. These people, not one of them have even tried to smile.
Yeah.
Because they're full of rebellion.
Right.
Yep.
It's rebellion. That's all it is. It's rebellion. It's money.
Yep.
It's a business.
That's right.
God has nothing to do with this.
That's right.
And this has nothing to do with God.
Amen.
Right. It's business.
Yep.
It's merchandise.
That's
right.
Yeah.
It's self. It's flesh. It's carnality. But it produces a rotten, rebellious, disrespectful, hateful attitude towards godliness. They don't stop and scorn the world.
Yeah. Oh,
because, I mean, after all, they look just like us.
Yeah,
it's not scorning. That's joining them. That's not scorning.
Right.
They've scorned you.
Yeah. Amen.
Young people today make fun of modesty.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And King James Bible. You know, I don't need that. And godly music like I will have on the inside.
Yeah, amen.
Like a river glorious. I mean, stayed upon Jehovah. That's a good song. I like that song.
Amen.
Learn that song, Brother Ethan. Learn that song, Brother Warshaw. I like that song. Page number 19. But listen, this 19. Not now. Later. But this attitude, you can see it all over their face.
Yep, that's right.
They're rebellious. Anything that's godly in this world is what they're standing against.
Yep.
What they're saying is, okay, you can be saved, but that's far enough. Everything else is just like the world. Just continue down the same path, and it's all rebellion.
Yep.
It's sitting in the seat of the scornful. It's a rotten, rebellious attitude, and it starts with the advice.
That's right.
It continues with the actions,
yep.
And then it follows with the attitude. You know, they'll laugh at you. Maybe not to your face.
Yeah.
But they'll laugh at you.
Amen.
And now, this attitude will cause you, basically bring you full circle, Now, this attitude will bring you around to where now you're promoting ungodliness yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Because you walked in their counsel. You followed their advice. You imitated them. Now, here's the question then. How am I going to know godly from ungodly? Well, God's not going to leave us in the dark.
Amen. That's right.
The next verse tells us the answer.
Amen. Yeah.
Number one, I'm going to have to delight in the Word of God.
Amen.
Delight. This word delight means I'm going to have to desire it because it pleases me.
Amen. Yeah.
When I delight in something, I want it because it pleases me. Yeah. It makes me happy. It's what I enjoy.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs 28. And we're going to look at some verses now, amen. Proverbs 28, verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. How does a person get to this point? How does a person get to it? Because they forsake the Word of God.
Listen, I don't know.
Maybe you're not understanding, but I think you are. This right here praises ungodliness.
Right. Yeah, sure.
This
right.
Praises the wicked. Yeah. Why? Because they are not. They're forsaking the law of God.
Right. Yeah,
they that forsake the law praise the wicked. They're going against what God says, so now they are praising the wickedness.
Yep.
He that is with me is with me. He that is against me is against me. You cannot be with me and against me. You're either with me or against me, Jesus said. And these people are trying to play both sides of the fence, but they're forsaking the law of God. So God says they're praising wickedness. That's the truth.
That's right.
They're praising wickedness because they're forsaking God's law.
Yep. Bam.
But look what the rest of the verse says. But such as keep the law, contend with them. Now, that doesn't mean I'm contentious. That means I stand against them.
That's right.
I stand against wickedness. I stand against ungodliness. I stand against unrighteousness. And that's what God wants me to do. That's what God's law is all about.
Amen. That's right.
Do you see any gray area in Proverbs 28, verse 4? You're either on one side or the other.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You're either on one side or the other.
Yeah. Amen.
But these folks, they don't have a clue. They don't understand that.
Yep, that's right.
You have to delight in the law of the Lord. You have to desire the law of the Lord. You have to willingly long for God's Word because you know this is what's going to make me happy. This is what's going to give me understanding what's godly and what's ungodly. This is the law of God. This is what helps me stand against wickedness.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Amen.
You know what it does? Is it converts you from who you used to be to a godly Christian.
Amen.
What does the law of the Lord, this book in your hands, the Bible, and don't misunderstand me. I think you all know. I'm talking about the King James Bible, the only Word of God there is. Amen.
Amen.
They may mention Bible in this, but it won't be Bible.
Right.
It'll be some perverted version of it.
Yep.
That's why they like this.
Yeah, come on. Right. Amen.
But the law of the Lord is perfect. God's Word is perfect. It converts the soul from that to godliness.
Yeah.
It changes everything. It changes me.
Yeah. That's right. Yep.
God's Word changes me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Look over in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord.
Yep.
Now, stay right there for a second. Don't read ahead yet. You cannot separate the Lord from His Word.
That's right. Yep. Amen. Hey,
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it is forever settled in heaven. You cannot delight yourself in the Lord without delighting yourself in His Word.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Preach.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're going to sing about Jesus. They're going to talk about Jesus. They're going to have concerts and rock and roll and gyrate their bodies and all kinds of carnality with Jesus on their lips. But you cannot delight yourself in the Lord without delighting yourself in
Jesus. Yep.
That's foolishness.
Amen.
That's ungodliness.
Yep. Amen.
All these churches that have Jesus on their side somewhere, but yet you go inside there, and dear God, there is nothing but a spirit of wickedness, a spirit of flesh, a spirit of carnality, a dead spirit of darkness.
Yep.
Oh, but it's entertaining, preacher. No, it's not. It's ungodly.
Amen. That's right.
Delight thyself also in the Lord. Notice, He shall give thee the desires. He'll change your desires.
Yep.
People use that verse wrongly. They say, well, this is the desire of my heart for all my life. And then they're going to go do something ungodly. That's not, that did not stem from delighting yourself in the Lord.
Right.
When I delight myself in the Lord, I delight myself in His law. And it converts me from the old desires to new desires.
Right.
I now desire to see people saved. I now desire for God to be glorified in my body and in my spirit, because I now belong to Him.
Amen.
It changes everything.
Amen.
That's right.
It gives me new desires.
Amen.
This book, I don't desire to look like some freak show anymore.
Amen. Amen.
Man.
Oh, great.
Somebody give me a match. Look in the same chapter, verse 30. We're going to burn this after this is over.
Amen.
Chapter 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide.
That's right. Amen.
None of his... Why? Because the law of God is in his heart.
Amen.
Not the counsel of the ungodly.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Not the advice of the world. Not the fashions and the fads of the world. Not the folly of the world. But his heart is filled with God's law. And the Bible says, promise, none of his steps shall slide. He's not going to be caught up in this mess because his heart's full of the law, the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I don't really know. I mean, sometimes, you know, not everybody that's ungodly looks like this. No, they don't. But if you'll just be wise and discerning and let God's Word fill your heart,
yep.
You'll know
that's right.
We're not on the same page.
Yep. Amen.
We're not on the same page. I'm not going to take your advice. I'm not going to follow your pattern for living. I'm not going to imitate you because you're not.
Yeah.
It doesn't line up with that book.
Yep.
That is the only source of discernment that we have.
Yep, amen.
And when our heart's filled with that, our steps won't slide. We won't go this direction.
Yep, that's right.
And we won't go this direction. Look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We've been talking a lot about the will of God, and there it is again. Why is it that... Now, I don't need to ask you, do you think this is God's will for these people? No. Now, listen, but godliness is.
Yeah.
Righteousness is.
Amen.
Clean, pure living is. Modesty, godly music, and it goes on, all the words of our mouth and the meditations of our... Those things, that godly, but how am I going to delight in that?
Yeah.
How am I going to delight in God's will instead of God ungodly living? It's because the law of God is where? In my heart.
Yep.
Listen to me, young people. Look at me real fast. Because the law of God is in my heart, that doesn't mean it's going to do you any good.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
It's got to be in your heart.
Amen.
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 Let me say that again. It's got to be in your heart.
That's right.
That's right.
It can be in your pastor's heart all day long, but if it's not in yours, you're not going to delight in God's will.
Yeah, right. Amen. That's right.
You're not. You're going to delight in ungodliness. You're going to follow the advice of the ungodly. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Wait a minute. I'm not walking in their counsel. I'm walking in the law. So listen, if I'm walking in the law of the Lord, number one, I'm going to be undefiled in the way. My life is going to be clean.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Undefiled means clean.
That's right.
Without spot even. Without wrinkle.
Yep.
I'm not talking about the things that come up on my face. Without wrinkle. Without spot. Without blemish. Undefiled in the way. Why? Yep. Because they're walking in the law of the Lord.
That's right.
Now, when I'm walking in the law of the Lord, I'm obviously going to know the difference between the law of the Lord and the advice of the ungodly.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm going to see, hey, cleanliness, filth.
Yep.
Cleanliness, defilement. Undefiled, dirty.
Yep. Yeah, man, that's but right.
You're not going to know until you walk in the law of the Lord.
Right. Yeah, man.
You're not going to know the difference until you get yourself clean.
Yep. Yeah.
Wherewithal, in that same chapter, verse 6, verse 9, excuse me, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Yeah.
Taking heed doesn't mean just hearing it. It means obeying it, practicing it.
Right.
Look in verse 53 of Psalm 119, verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me, because of the wicked that forsake thy law.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Horror. Let that sink in for a minute. Now, it doesn't say horror is because I've forsaken the law. But look, horror hath taken hold upon me because the wicked that forsake thy law.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means that their lifestyles are making my life horrible.
Yep, that's right.
What does that mean, preacher? Let's think about it for a minute. Everywhere you look, you see ungodliness. You have precious little children who you want so badly to protect, but you're horrified just walking out the front door of your house. Why? Because they will not obey. They will not follow. They will not delight. They will not heed to the law of God.
That's right. Amen.
So horror is beginning to overtake God's people.
Sure.
Because it's
everywhere.
Now, that doesn't mean that we give up. That means that we understand how important it is.
That's right. Amen.
That means that we understand the difference here. We realize that if I don't separate myself, if I don't walk in the way of the law of the Lord, then I'm going to be a part of that horror.
That's right.
I'm going to be a part of that filth. Dear God, I just want you to understand, as your pastor, that you're the flock of God. You are God's people. You belong to God. And that horror, you should never want to be a part of it.
Right.
And it only comes from one thing. Forsaking the law of God.
Yep, that's right.
Forsaking the word of God. You just forsake it, and your life will be a part of that.
We have
Chase and Brooklyn, is that right? I remember their names. And that. Even they could understand this.
Yeah.
If they were listening. I'm sure they are, but you know what I mean. If I really sat them down and I said, look, the Word of God is the way, and anything other than the Word of God is going to cause you a whole lot of hard times.
Sure.
They can understand that.
Yeah, amen.
We don't need another version, sir.
Yeah,
we just need to get serious about the law of God and realize I need to delight myself. Amen. Go back to Psalm. Don't turn there in your mind. Go back to Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight.
Yep.
It pleases me. It's what I long for. It's yep. what I want.
That's
I
right.
belong Amen. To God.
Amen.
I delight in it. But why? Because I realize without it, my life would be nothing but sheer horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Absolutely. That's right.
Look at verse 72. I'm not done. Y'all okay?
Amen.
Verse 72, Psalm 119. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You want to ask yourself, do I delight in the law of the Lord like I should? Okay. How much money would it take to get you away from it?
Yeah. Oh, great. Yep.
How much money was it going to take to get you out of it?
Right. Yeah. Oh.
That's what that verse is talking about.
Yep.
If I delight in it like I should, there's no amount of money.
That'll take me away. That's right. Yep. Amen.
No job schedule?
Yep. Come on. Preach. Amen. Come on.
That's going to get quiet, I know.
Come on. Amen.
No job is going to take me away from the law of the Lord.
Yep. That's right. Amen.
If I delight in it.
Yep. That's right. Amen.
Satan knows where to get you.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. Preach.
Preacher, you don't understand. I can't live without that money.
Yeah.
Well, you can't live without this book.
Amen.
Yep.
Right. You see, preacher, I can have both. So can they.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never going to look like that. Whose example are you following?
Yeah. Both. Preach. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Whose example are you following?
Yeah, man. Preach.
Are you in God's will?
Come on.
Or not?
Yeah.
Is it money Preach. That's leading you, or God's word?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. That's right.
Who's his name?
Come on.
See, now it gets personal.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
I'm just saying to you tonight, listen, it's happening, it's destroying good people because they're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, I never look like that, preacher. No, you may not look like that, but you don't know what else they're doing that brought them to that place. It's not because they're walking in the law of the Lord. It's because they're forsaking it. And if you're forsaking it in your life, you are no better. You're just as much compromising as they are.
That's right.
Yep.
We're never going to get perfect. Come on, don't label me that. I'm understanding that we're all sinners, but then God, we got to understand, if we want the blessings,
if you don't want the blessings, then just go to sleep. But if you want the blessings, listen.
Amen.
Because
it starts with nots.
Yep.
Negatives. Look in Psalm 119. We're still there. Everybody's still with me, right? Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction.
Amen.
Affliction comes to everybody.
Right.
Amen. Affliction comes to everybody. And if I'm not delighting in the law of the Lord, that affliction is going to get me out.
Yep.
That's right.
It's going to kill me. I'm going to be gone.
Amen. Preach.
Oh, young people, you think that if you live a godly life, you think that your life is going to, you're just going to miss out on all the fun. No, if you live a godly life, you will not perish in your affliction. If you walk in the law and the counsel of the ungodly, you will have a horrible life, and sooner or later that affliction will overcome you. There's nothing. You're not missing anything. But every time you get on those media sites, every time you chat with your buddies and your ungodly friends, and they're doing it and they're wearing it and they're saying it, and you're following their advice.
Yeah, man. Preach.
You're never gonna have the blessing.
Yeah, man. Preach.
You're not missing anything.
Amen.
Adults, it's not just teenagers, though, is it? You're not missing anything. You're not missing anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Where was I at? Look in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Well, there's another gauge. Do I love it? Do I delight in it? Okay, how much are you thinking about it throughout the day? How much of it is in your mind instead of ungodliness? Look in verse 150, Psalm 119, 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. The further you get from the law of God, the more, the deeper in the mischief of this world you're going to get. The further you get from the law of God, the deeper in sin you're going to get.
Amen.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Right.
Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. I can't skip that one. Nothing shall offend them. Now the word offend doesn't mean it upset them. Hey, listen to me. In that definition, this offends me. This upsets me. But that's not what that word means. What that word means is nothing is going to trip you up. Nothing's going to make you get out. Nothing. If you love that book, you'll make it. If you don't love that book, chances are good chances you won't. I can't tell you for sure, but according to the Word of God, if you love that book, you'll make it. If you don't, you won't. Do you delight in it?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you look forward to it? Do you delight to read it and learn it and love it? And Bible Institute students, do you delight it enough? Do you really delight it? We'll find out here in the next couple of weeks. Nothing will get you out of the will of God if you love that book. That's a good verse. You ought to memorize that.
Amen.
Great peace. Great peace means I'm not worried about what they're doing. I'm not going to try to join them so I can be like, I'm perfectly fine because my mind is stayed upon Jehovah.
Amen.
I understand this is going to happen, but listen, I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to love the law of God, and I'm not going to let anything get me to that point.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend. Nothing will get them out of church. Nothing will get you out of the will of God. Nothing will ever get you to compromise the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
That's what it says. Nothing. Wow, that's a powerful verse.
Amen.
You ought to meditate on that. And by the way, that's my next point. Delighting in it. How am I going to know? How am I going to know the difference? I'm going to delight in it. And then Psalm 1 says, and his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and daily he shall meditate therein day and night. I want to talk to you about meditation, and I'm done. I'm delighting in the law of God, Psalm 1, verse 2. How am I going to know the difference between the ungodly and the godly? Well, it's going to be the Word of God. I'm going to delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law I'm going to meditate day and night. I believe this is what's missing more than anything. Is really understanding what meditation is. Taking the time to meditate on what you read. Thinking about it.
Yeah.
Let me just be practical with you tonight. Use a notebook. Use a little journal. Mine's in my office. And write things down that God says to you while you're reading. Write verses down that mean something to you as you're delighting in His law, as you're reading. And by the way, you can't delight in it without reading it.
Right.
I mean, I don't think I need to say that. But you can't delight in it without reading it. Read it. But don't just read it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Mull it over in your mind, in your heart. Can I say, that's why we memorize it.
Yeah,
thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Yep.
When I hide it in my heart, it's there. And God can bring it up to
for my meditation when I need it the most. And God can use it in my heart and as a standard. And the Holy Spirit has a good way of bringing that thing to my memory when I need it the most. But this word has an even deeper meaning, that meditation. It means to ponder the Word of God to such a degree that you find yourself even muttering it under your breath. You ever seen anybody walk around talking to themselves? I'm about to tell you. But all they're really doing is just thinking out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you'd be laughing at it, talking to yourself. All they're doing is thinking out loud.
Yeah.
What's in their mind is coming out of their mouth. There's just nobody else around to tell it to. But you know why? Because they're meditating on something. So all kids do it. A lot of adults do it. You know who you're talking to. You know who you're thinking about right now. But imagine if you were God's people walking around day and night meditating so much more to God that they're just saying it over to themselves. And as they're working there, they're kind of just whispering it under their breath. As they're in school, they're kind of just thinking about it, but they're listening to it. Remember Hannah when she was praying? And Eli, he wasn't a very wise priest. But he thought, what's wrong with you, Nelly? You drunk? Oh, I'm not drunk. I'm praying. Got a priest right here. She didn't say that, but she was, but her lips were moving, but there was nothing coming out. But she was talking to God. She was in meditation in the Spirit of God, communing with God, and praying. And this is, but you know, you can pray in your heart, pray without ceasing. And there's no better way to pray than just take the Word of God. And when I pray, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I quote verses all the time. Because it gets my mind focused on what I'm doing. I can't think about the world when I'm quoting the Word of God. You can't have both. I don't know if you figured that out yet, but that book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that book.
That's right.
And if you keep your mind and your hearts in Christ Jesus, in the Word of God, you will be focused on Jesus, and you can pray, and you can get in the Spirit of God, and there's a much greater focus and concentration there. And there's nothing wrong with taking that with you all day long.
Meditating. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16. Colossians chapter 3. Well, let's read on. Let's read 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the great peace have they which what? Love thy law. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. How am I going to do that? I'm going to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly.
Amen.
Dwell means to live there.
Amen.
Not just go in and leave, but dwell there in me richly in all wisdom. I'm going to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Amen.
Singing, that means I'm going to be, and now go over to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Didn't Eli ask Hannah, are you drunk?
Yeah.
Why? Because she was moving her lips and nothing was coming out. But be filled with the Spirit. And when I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm not going to be drunk speaking stupid foolishness. I'm going to be speaking, verse 19, speaking to yourselves.
Yep.
Talking to yourself.
Yeah.
See, so it's okay.
As long as it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's word going to come out when you meditate on it, you're thinking about it, you're repeating it to yourself, you're mumbling it at work, you're whispering verses to yourself while you're at school, you're speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, but it's going to come out of your mouth.
Yep, that's right.
Who cares? You're filled with the Word of God day and night. You meditate on it so much, you delight in it so much, and that that's why the Word of God says, nothing shall offend
him. Yep, amen.
Because I'll be able to bounce anything that happens. I'll be able to bounce it off the Word of God and realize, now that's why.
Yep.
That's why.
Amen.
That is lazy. Yep. That's right. That's wrong. This is good. That's evil. Go to Hebrews chapter 5 with me real quick. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Lucas is what, 2 now? And he's starting to try to talk. And I heard him say cookies and chips. So he's a good young man. He's a boy. He's a boy, hey man. Cookies and chips. And he's not afraid to eat, amen. Hallelujah. And that's okay. God gave us dominion over all the beasts of the field, amen. But he's, when he talks, you know, it's not real. He's trying to say something, but he doesn't have the understanding. He's not very skillful, okay. Levi just drinks milk. Now, Lucas can chew on some meat, man. But Levi just drinks milk. And there's a difference there because of the age. Verse 14 says, "Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." Even those... Now, when I get to full age as a Christian, I should, by reason of use, I have my senses exercised to discern, to be able to tell between good and evil.
Yep.
And what is it all about? The word of righteousness. The verse, oracles of God, verse 12. The word of righteousness, and the Bible.
Amen.
When you are a brand new Christian, granted, this is not going to necessarily work for you, but you should grow to the point where you stop sipping on a bottle like a baby, and you start getting full age where you begin to know the Word of God, and you're not going to know it until you use it to keep your heart right, and you exercise it just like you do muscles to be able to discern between godly and ungodly. And this doesn't take a whole lot of discernment, but it's not all this easy.
Yeah, right.
It's not always this plain.
Amen.
It's not always that plain.
That's right.
I want to show you another verse, and I promise I'm almost done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. Let's look at verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Now, folks, listen to me. You can't transform yourself into a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
These are false apostles that are faking it, making themselves look like and sound like. And verse 14, "And no marvel, it's no surprise, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Dear God, if you saw Satan right now in that form, you might think he's Benny Hinn. You might think he's T.D. Jakes. You might think he's Joel Osteen.
Yeah. Oh.
and on and on and on. Are you listening to me? Therefore, verse 15, it's no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan's.
Yeah,
he's got ministers. Oh yeah, you better believe it. He imitates everything God does.
That's right.
His ministers also transformed as the ministers of righteousness. How am I going to know the difference? You better learn this book.
That's right, brother.
How am I going to know the difference? You better get skillful in the word of righteousness. You better delight in it. Daily meditating. I don't care if you walk around mumbling it. Dear God, how else are you going to learn a memory verse?
Yeah, amen.
You repeat it over and over again. Because his ministers, now their end are going to be according to their works. But the fact is, if you don't know the Bible, it's not always this plain.
Yeah, that's right.
But I guarantee you there's going to be good people that are probably saved. They're going to go to this junk, and they're going to get sucked into it, and they're just going to follow it.
Sure.
Why? Because they don't know this book.
Yeah.
They don't delight in it. Like I said, they don't even have it.
Yeah.
Once we got rid of the King James Bible in our churches, in our schools, and in our homes, and I'm telling you what, there is no word of righteousness anymore. It's not even milk anymore. It's nothing but sour, rotten cottage cheese. It's not even pure.
Yep.
But God says, "I'll bless the man. I'll bless the Christian that will not walk in this counsel, that will not follow the advice or practice the actions." Or ask yourself, how's your attitude?
Yeah.
If your attitude is, well, that's a bunch of preaching, Bible, boring stuff, this is exciting, you're already there. Now, teenagers, listen to me, you're their number one target.
Yeah.
Young people, you are their number one target.
Amen.
Because they know that you're not grounded.
Right.
They know that you're still unskillful in the word of righteousness.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
But you know, if you listen tonight, you got some help.
Amen.
But you can't delight in this book and daily meditate in this book and still fall for this junk. You won't do it. Thank God. God says, "I'll bless you. I'll bless you. You'll have a happy life. You'll trust in me. You'll be happy."
Amen.
Father, I pray you bless your message tonight. Lord, I don't know what else to say. I think I've said enough. I pray your Holy Spirit would say the rest. Help us, Lord God, to meditate on these things, to understand what you're trying to tell us. God, thank you for the Bible. Oh, Lord, thank you for this precious King James Bible, pure, undefiled, harmless, holy, separate from sinners, perfect in every way, pure in every word, infinite, infallible, inerrant, heaven sent, forever settled. Lord, thank you, Father, for this book. But God, we have to delight in it. It's not going to work on its own. Help us to delight, to daily meditate, to chew on it, to mull it over. Lord God, to memorize it. Lord, please, work in our hearts today. Bless these young people, God. Oh, Lord, the devil's got so much out there to fill their minds, to make them delight in so many other things. Please, God, help them. Help them to see that it's all fake. It's all false. It's all horror. That's all it is horror. Lord, please, I pray for your Holy Spirit now. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. The music's going to play softly. Let's all stand together. The altars are open tonight.